Good morning. I'm not a naturally gifted public speaker. It is not in my DNA. I am not comfortable public speaking. I would much rather meet you for coffee and talk one-on-one than I would talk to a crowd. So even when Grant sort of was talking about trying to get me up here a little bit more so you could get to know me, it was like panic. But anyway, I realised, though, I had this epiphany this morning. I married a pastor, which is never good for that, is it, really? It was doomed. I was doomed the minute I married a pastor. But you know what? I had this reflection this morning. Before I married Grant, I had two serious relationships in my life that I thought I was going to marry, but they thought otherwise. Both of them went on to be pastors. So no matter what I did, whether it was David, Carl, or Grant, I was going to land as a pastor's wife. So this is part of the, comes as the package. For me, overseas mission and being involved in that has been something that's been a part of me ever since I've been an adult. I actually did my nursing training and I still remember a conversation with someone during that training. I was just itching to finish so I could go get on the mission field. And I remember me saying to her one day, it's just taking too long. By the time I get there, all the jobs are going to be done. And she turned to me and said, just to wake up. She said, not everyone is training as a nurse to go and be on the mission field. So I'm sure there'll be work to do. And there was. But Grant and I have been on 9 ministry team trips to India. And one of the main things every team member is encouraged or basically made to do is to prepare their testimony. Once over there, you can be expected to just have to be thrown into any circumstance where you might need to share at the drop of a hat. So it's really important that people prepare and know what they're going to say. One example was we were on this long, long drive, been going for hours and hours, and we were told we were going to visit a church and minister and encourage this church out in the village in the middle of nowhere. We kept driving, and as we drove along in the car, we passed in the middle of this field, this big sort of like warehouse hall thing, and you could hear the loudspeaker, someone blah, 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 talking through it. And I jokingly, as we went past, said to Grant, I bet you that's where we're going. But we kept driving. And so Grant said, oh, as you've, sure enough, a few minutes later, the car turned around, went back, and in we went. And there was 300 odd people had been gathered for a conference that we didn't know we were the guest speakers of. So I had to do my testimony there, and I thought, that's okay, Grant's good off the cuff, he'll get up. And then it was like, oh, and now after you have to take the women's, we'll break into men's and women's and we'll have a women's ministry. And in India, if you look in, the ministry we used to go with used to sit separately, the women one side, the men, that's just their tradition. And if you look, you could go to the back wall with the women and about the first 10 rows with the men. So as soon as we were finished, it was like, Wendy, what have you got? And so I'm scrambling through all my folders and thankfully found something to share in that moment. So you had to be ready for anything. And it was really interesting because most people found it a really positive experience. And many older people had said, I've never prepared. I've never written down my testimony. I've never actually, had to write it for any reason. So it was a really good team building exercise because we'd practice and practice pretending there was an interpreter because you had to do everything with an interpreter. So we would practice together and we'd get to know each other. So it was a really good thing to do as a team. But you know what? Ultimately, your testimony is just your story. And this is mine. So I was born in England. I've shared that before. And I came to Australia when I was 11 years old. I grew up with my mum sending me to Sunday school. The rest of my family didn't go to church, though. I actually, at some point, ended up playing the tenor horn in a Salvos band. Don't ask me how I got there. I wasn't very good, but I used to just go wherever we lived. Mum would send me off to wherever we were. But they weren't followers of Jesus. So I had a minimal understanding of who God was. But then when I was 17, high school friend invited me to their church. Full confession, I went because I wanted to meet boys. And I heard there were boys at youth group. How many people start out that way in church, hey? That was St. Stephen's Lugano, where I first met Dot and Terry, way back when. Ironically, my friend who invited me stopped going after a while, but I was hooked. It was really good biblical teaching, and I used to go every year to the annual Katoomba Youth Convention. Yay. A lot of great speakers, a lot of, a lot of heart decisions made for me at KYC. I did commit my life to God. But after a bad relationship breakup, it's going to be about my heart stories, I still wanted to go to church, so I started going to Lugano Uniting, which is where I met Chris and Rosie Powell. And, yeah, because that's where I started going to church with Grant Heslop. Those were really, I'd made a decision, but they were really roller coaster years for me. My behaviour, a lot of people wouldn't have even known I was a Christian outside of when I came to church on a Sunday. My behaviour was not good. I was so inconsistent. You know, people thought I was amazing on a Sunday, but then in the weekdays I'd be a very different person. And I can see how I spent many years turning my back on God and running to Him again, turning my back on God, running to Him again. Like I go up and then I go down, up and down. And on reflection, there's a passage where Paul says, it's like the things I know I should do, I struggle to do, but I easily do the things I shouldn't do. And that was me for a lot of years. I even went to work in Africa a few times, finished my nursing, got off to Africa a few times to work as a nurse. and, you know, I went with good intents. It was to show people the love of God. And yet still my behaviour as a Christian, it wasn't always a great example. And I did start to wonder if God really existed. And especially when I worked in Rwanda, I went... just as not long after the genocide erupted, and I went for 3 months with Care Australia, which was not a Christian organisation. I'm not joking. I not long arrived and they decided the bottled water was too expensive, so we had to use like from the big public tanks that everyone used, which had chlorine dropped in, and yet the key leaders were drinking gin and tonic every night in their nice little rooms. So... yeah, that's a long, lots of stories there if you ever want to know more about that experience. But that was definitely my darkest valley. I think I knew for a while in that period was probably the period that I would say what it's like to be separated from God. I don't know if you've ever had a period in your life when you felt really separated from God. It's like a tiny, tiny part of you knows that God's there and that He'll be there for you, but the rest just felt so dark. And I think I've read a number of books even since, and even my journal, I look back. It was like there was a veil across the country, the nation of that time. Even when you read what people did, it was like there was a veil of darkness and the enemy at work so much. And basically people were doing anything they could to survive. And we as workers were doing whatever we could to get by, to get through our time there. So I came back from that trip in a really low state. I was in my mid-20s and I really questioned what I believed. But thankfully, not long after returning, friends introduced me to the Holy Spirit. I had great biblical teaching, but it was like the Holy Spirit was the poor cousin in the teaching and the churches I'd been up to that point. There hadn't been any like really, you really need to get to know who the Holy Spirit is. So this was revelationary for me. These became really big years of pressing into God and experiencing more of the fullness of God. And yes, those were the years when I'd met, and Grant may have contributed to in part to this, but it was like the Holy Spirit shone a brighter light on Jesus and God. Does that make sense? It's like I knew who in my head who God and Jesus were, but the Holy Spirit made it like really, and that I know that I know that I know that I know. And then it just went really deep. it went really deep, and it became my core of who I am. And I haven't looked back in that regard. I'm still by no means perfect. You just have to ask my kids. And I had to do a lot of repenting, and I still do. But I can see that all those times I was turning my back on God, it was like he was just patiently waiting. He was just standing there waiting. He was carrying me at times. He needed to carry me. But he was just patiently waiting for me to look around, and I'd go, oh, there you are. It's okay, you're there. And he just kept loving me and waiting for me to look at him again. I think for me as an adult, it's just took me a really, really long time to understand my value and worth. So sometimes you become a Christian and you say a prayer of commitment, but that doesn't alter who you are, your identity is. And to be honest, I didn't grow up with a father who ever said he loved me, didn't show love in many ways at all, probably the opposite of that. And it was really hard to break that and to actually get to a place where I could go, God, my father is a very different father to the father I'd experienced on earth. And to understand that love of Jesus took me a long time, and now I look back. It's so great to look back on your life, isn't it? It's so hard sometimes when you're in it. It was some really hard years there, but it's so good to look back and go, I can see what God was doing. I can see his hand upon my life. And in the workshop last week, Steve was sharing how modelling can be so important as well as part of your testimony. And I realised I didn't have that modelled growing up, and it kind of set me back in many ways of my understanding, the true understanding of the scriptures. And as I said, I'm not very brave at actually sharing my testimony. For some reason, no problem in India and Africa. I just get a boldness there that I don't always have in Australia. But I've come to understand that aside from knowing what I know to be true, what I share most with other people in my everyday life is the model, is someone saying, something seems different about you. Why are you this? Why are you that? Getting those questions that then open that doorway. And look, again, I have a different testimony. If you talk about what you write down as your testimony to share my life's story, I don't go up to strangers and say, no, I was born in England, came to Australia when I was 11. Let me tell you, that's not, for me personally, that's not how it works. It's the same with scripture. I find that I don't have set, there is a scripture in Psalm 119. Actually, if someone got a Bible, can read that out. Psalm 119, verse 176. It's really easy. It's right in the middle of your Bible, just about. It's the last verse of the longest psalm. And it was just recently that it was like, oh, wow. No, 176. Thanks, Isaiah. So close. Because I'm thinking, that's actually really good too. His unfailing love, and that's great because that's what I want to end on, is about his unfailing love. But this is like, this was my life. I've strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, and that's what God's been. He's never stopped seeking me, and I've not forgotten your commands. So I never quite forgot his commands. I never quite lost touch with him, but my life just didn't flatten out for a long time. So I do feel ready. I'm much braver now, and I am ready to share my testimony with people when they ask me, because I've thought about it. I've taken time to consider, who am I, what am I? But the thing that weaves through, the two words that weave through it so strongly, are grace and love. I sometimes share a little bit about my dad, if that's appropriate, and I talk about how the grace, it's only been by the grace of God that I can be who I am today and where I've gotten today. So for me, it's just been about my story growing over time and just taking any opportunity that comes my way to share that with people. So I think that's all I wanted to say. I do love how, and again, this is being married to a pastor, it sort of started off, I think you know, I wouldn't mind if you shared for a couple of minutes, and then it's, can you flesh it out a bit? And then Rowan saying, Wendy's preaching this morning, so.
Awesome. Thank you, Wend. So to flavour a little bit, as Wendy has shared, there is purpose in it, not only to for you guys to hear a little bit about Wendy, and it's something that I always get encouraged by. And I actually could flesh out her testimony more by what God has done, which is so incredible. Yeah. And I always say, you know, the capacities I have today have grown and been complemented so richly by the way Wendy has pushed into her relationship with God that's helped shape me as well. It's a beautiful thing. So are you prepared? Do you call yourself someone who is prepared? Maybe ask a different question. Was the essay finished in the early hours of the day it was due? That's me. Was it finished days in advance and you've had time to revise it? Were you cleaning the house just before we arrived? Or was it done in advance? Or are you into just winging it and going, I'm cool, I've got it covered? Do you prepare? Well, I would like to suggest when it comes to our testimony, when it comes to being available to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to be prepared, to be available, to be ready. What if you walked out of Sea Change this morning and a random individual in the car park says, hey, what were you doing in there this morning? What, you're in church. Why would you go to church on Sunday morning? Well, who's this Jesus guy? I'm hoping in that moment you go, don't go, go up the steps there, find a guy named Grant. He'll take care of you. I would like to think that every single one of us can say, let me tell you about the Jesus that I know. Let me tell you about how he has changed my life and the trajectory of my life. Now, as always, as someone trying to encourage you, I need to talk about the train wrecks as well. So I was at a beach mission. Any of you been to beach mission before? Yeah, awesome, fantastic. I was down at Bermagui, a part of a beach mission team, and we'd just been to see the movie Ghosts with Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze. Anyway, it was a great movie back then. And in that movie, as you know, there is so much about life and death and wrong choices and right choices. And there's these incredible moments in that movie where those that apparently aren't good, these things come and take them away to wherever that implies, hell maybe. And so we were down on the beach and all of these young teenagers had been challenged by it, and the leader of the team had done this incredible talk about Jesus, and he looks around and he thinks, I'm going to turn to Gran here, who is their age, and I'm going to ask him, tell me about why you're a Christian, Gran. And I was just like a deer in the headlights. And all of these young people who had just been encouraged about Jesus are all looking at me, and I say these three incredible words as to why I'm a Christian. It's about a greater happiness. And the leader looked at me as if to say, is that all you have? Thanks for your contribution, Grant. Those were the only three words that came out of my mouth about this incredible God that I had fallen in love with, that I'd known had saved me. All that could come out of my mouth was a greater happiness. And these teenagers looked at me and said, in their minds, I thought, he's an idiot. A greater happiness as a teenager? Do any of our teenagers use those words? I don't think so. Siobhan's shaking her head to give confirmation to that. I was unprepared. I wasn't ready. And I still reflect on that day. And I say to the Lord, I never want to be caught out again. I never want to not be ready. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. I am convinced that if we prepare ourselves, if we intentionally prepare ourselves in our testimony with a heart full of prayer that says, Lord, I want to be available to share the good news of Jesus Christ and how you've changed me, I believe the heart of God is to provide opportunities for you to share that very thing. I believe that God's kingdom expression, the heart of God, that God is still reconciling this world to himself in Jesus Christ. So we sometimes think evangelism is the desire of us to have the capacity to share our story. But actually, God's heart breaks every day when he sees people walking this life without the truth of Jesus Christ. And so the heart of God is to reveal himself to his creation, to reveal the good news, but he's looking for ambassadors. He's looking for couriers of his message. And every time I've had the opportunity to stir up, and previously this would have been at Padstow, where people intentionally said, okay, I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare my sermon. Oh, sorry, not my sermon, but my testimony. And I'm going to be available. I'm going to begin to pray, Lord, I want to be available. Guess what happens? Weeks fly by and people come along and they say, guess what? I've started to share my testimony with people at work. People are asking me, what did you do this weekend? Oh, you go to church. Why do you believe in Jesus? So all of a sudden, the alignment of my heart, understanding my testimony, preparing my testimony, aligns itself with the intentions of God, which is that he wants to reveal his good news to a broken world. I think sometimes we miss the understanding that God actually is seeking to draw people into his kingdom still. It's the heart of God to want to bring salvation to broken hearts. We are reminded that we are not just Jesus' disciples. We have talked about this in recent weeks. We are disciple makers as well. And therefore, we have the opportunity to go back into the worlds in which we live and invite people along in that journey, to help them understand who this Jesus is that we love so deeply. This morning, we've been proclaiming him through word, praising him. Well, Peter wrote this letter to Christians in Asia Minor. They were undergoing heavy persecution. They were enduring many trials, slaves abused by their masters, citizens persecuted by an oppressive government. They were ordinary believers, but they were being slandered for their faith. They were being mistreated. And it's in that environment that Peter calls them up to let the hope of Jesus Christ shine through. To let the testimony of Jesus in their life come to the surface. Like it's like a flowing over. To sanctify Christ is to honor his holiness in both word and action, treating him with reverent awe. And you know what this does? When Christ is the Lord of our lives, it replaces the fear of people with the fear of God and calls us to holy living. Now, how often don't we share our testimonies for fear of people? Maybe some of us, and I include myself here, have to be reminded that we are to carry a fear of God. God has given us responsibility to carry the testimony of Jesus Christ and to share it as opportunities arise. Preacher and evangelist George Campbell Morgan says these words, "The simple meaning of the injunction is that at the very center of life, there is to be one Lord, and that is Christ. Other lords are not permitted to invade the sanctuary of the heart and to exercise dominion over us. Our own selfish desires, the opinions of others, worldly wisdom, the pressure of circumstances, these and many other lords command us, and we turn away our simple and complete allegiance to the one and only Lord that should be Jesus Christ. In our hearts is where this deep conviction and adoration is to be of Jesus, to get the posture of our hearts right. The Bible says the overflow of that will be things honouring to God. The good person in Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of their heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasures produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So when someone's wanting to talk to you about Christianity, when someone's wanting to talk to you about the hope of Jesus Christ, what overflows? Is it a resistance, a fear? Or is it a boldness and courage that overflows? The hope of Jesus rises in us and can answer the questions that come from those that would seek to understand. Now, we need to recognize this verse in 1 Peter. We can't read it in isolation because people were suffering. People were under pressure. And it's into that environment that the hope of Jesus Christ is actually meant to rise. We've been talking about this in previous weeks. Where growth in the kingdom of God is happening is in places in the world where persecution is the greatest. And why is that? It's because of this verse's reality is true. Is that the hope of Jesus Christ, when it's genuine in the hearts of believer, it rises up in the face of persecution. Because people go under the pressure, under maybe the alienation that those experience in society, yet they live with a hope and a joy, and someone in their heart says, this doesn't make sense. And that's what Peter is saying. Because when that moment comes and someone says, it doesn't make sense the way you live, tell me more. Are we prepared then to share what Jesus means to us? Now, this idea of making a defense, the Greek word is apologia. Now, we get the word apologetics from this. Now, when we say that word, there often is this sense of weakness. We're apologizing for what we believe. No. This word is actually a courageous and strong word. We can actually give a reason for the belief that we have. That we can stand up and make a defense. That we should be knowledgeable about our faith and able to articulate it to whomever is standing before us. We want to talk about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, a readiness. And so this morning, we're wanting to challenge ourselves to be prepared. When was the last time you sat down and actually either wrote out your testimony or you actually spoke to someone about it? Billy Graham got really good at his testimony. He used to go and preach to trees in the forest. That's how he got really good. He imagined these trees were going to be the people that he was going to share his faith with. And he got bold with it. And he got a clarity about how to share the testimony of Jesus. Now, we are to do that, as Peter says, with gentleness and respect. There's a way that we can proclaim Jesus that doesn't crush the spirit of the recipient, but actually builds them up and invites them into deeper understanding. Colossians 4 verses 5 and 6 say, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So that you may know how to answer everyone. I have one of the gifts that I think, well, it's been confirmed through the gift assessment thing that we did last week, but it's faith. And so I really just have, sometimes I feel like it's almost blind faith, but I have this faith that if we as a community genuinely positioned our hearts to prepare our testimonies, that we are in the weeks and months ahead going to hear testimonies from the front here of changed lives. And I'm really convinced that if you grab hold of this, and I'm not saying it is like a magic trick, that if you do A and B and C, God will do D, E and F. But if the words of the scriptures are true, that we, if we prepare ourselves to be ready to share about Jesus Christ, and if we pray, and even this morning on the way here, we were listening to 103.2 and Chris Witz, has everyone heard of Chris Witz? But he was talking about the actual intentional of the intentional positioning of the heart to believe that God can do something is actually the faith that begins to sow the seeds of that reality. So if the in our case, we're saying this morning, if I go away and say, Lord, I want to prepare my testimony, not just for the sake of it because I've got a few hours to kill, but I want to prepare my testimony that I would be ready to share with whoever comes my way. And I'm going to begin to pray, Lord, who are the people that I could share my testimony with? And this morning I'm encouraged to have spare chairs because every time I see a spare chair in a church, I ask the question, Lord, who's meant to be in that chair? Is it my brother who doesn't know Jesus yet? Is it the neighbour across the road that Wendy and I have been praying for? They're not here yet, but I want them to be here. I want my whole neighbourhood to be here. I want the people that I know in my family, Wendy shared about her family, we know that there are people in our family that don't know Jesus yet. And every spare seat I see, and these have been stacked up over here, I kind of look at them and go, Lord, who is meant to be in these seats? Who are the people that the Lord loves dearly that are meant to be in these seats? And I'm not talking just so that we can have a bigger church community here. No, but because people would come to know the salvation that we know in Jesus Christ. There's no greater gift that we can give to our family and friends than to share with them about who Jesus Christ is. So the practical side of this morning is this. This afternoon, I'm going to send you out a prepare your testimony document via email. And if you've never sat down, I want to encourage you this week. Take some time. Actually ask yourself, what would I say? Now, not all of you, although I'm happy to give the mic to anyone who wants to get up here and share their testimony, but I would love to think that if in weeks to come that I could just say, Brad, and Brad could go, I'm ready to go because I've been preparing. Now, all of us just then got a real jump in the heart. But goodness, what would that mean? But I would love to think that if we could take some time in preparation, if we've not done that before, who knows what might be on the other side of this? There might be a neighbour that turns up and says, you go to church every Sunday. Like God begins to stir up the hearts of people because God doesn't want his message to not be portrayed in the way it should be. I've gone way off script. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Anyway, I'm going to send out a prepare your testimony. Now, the verses, and I want to finish with this, that were just before this 1 Peter 3:15, which is revere Christ in your hearts. Revere Christ in your hearts as Lord. Peter says these words that come from Psalm 34, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. And so I thought we might just finish before the team comes back up because we have a song that we want to finish with today. I want you to take a moment, and we're probably going to do this just for 2 minutes. Think about the people in your life. Think about the spare chairs in the church and think about who might be a person that you can begin to pray for. Maybe you've seen some interest in them. Maybe you've seen some peace in their life towards you. Sometimes that's a really good way of seeing that God might be at work. In fact, we get some great teaching as Jesus sends out the 72. He says, you know, if there is peace there, then stay. Because I'm working in this moment. And so where is peace at work? Who are the people around you that aren't offended by you, that actually like you? And what are the ways that you can begin to pray for them and also prepare yourself to be able to share? So let's just take a moment and then I'll finish in prayer and then we'll get the team back. Who is that person you'd love to see in one of the spare chairs here at Sea Change this morning? Father, we think about those in our community, family, neighbourhoods, workplaces who don't know you yet, Lord. And we wonder even for a moment if we could be, even the idea of us being part of that, maybe even at the moment seems like a remote step of faith. And yet, Lord, at the same time, we believe that you are the God of miracles. We've been talking about that. Lord, you changed our life. Maybe it was someone else's testimony that encouraged us to take a step of faith towards you. And so, Lord, help us. Do we need to prepare, Lord? Help us to take the time to prepare. Lord, do we need to begin to pray intentionally for these people? Lord, help us to do that. But we would pray, Lord, that from today and in the weeks and even months ahead, Lord, there would be wonderful testimonies of the ways in which you've opened doors for us to share the good news and the testimony of your transformation in our life. Lord, we don't want to muck around with this, Lord. We don't want to pretend in this. We want to be genuine and available to you. Your good news is too important for us to keep concealed. Forgive us for where we've done that, Lord. Forgive us for when we've balked or we've shied away from sharing about you, Lord. Give us courage. And if doing some preparation later today or in the week ahead in our testimony is going to help, give us the capacity and the means to set that time aside, Lord, so that we will be ready and prepared just as this verse encourages us to be. Because we want to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than we can do this week. So thank you, Lord. Be with us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.